This segment is brought to you by Jigmaster Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and use promo code PNF20 and save 20% off your next jig order today.
Welcome to the Bass Kayak and Beer segment on the Paddle and Fin Network. It's your host Armando Solá, and on this segment, we kick back with a special guest and talk about life, kayak fishing, and the pursuit of big bass. So get your cold brews on and enjoy the show. Welcome once again, everyone, to the Bass Kayak and Beers Network. As always, it's your host Armando. I came out wrong. Special guest for today is Brad Hicks from the Final Cast. Brad, how are you today, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Before we start, I almost forgot. Shout out to Douglas Outdoors Rods for sponsoring the show. Go check them out, douglasoutdoors.com, to find the nearest dealer. The LRS lineup and the X-Matrix lineup, great rods, highly recommend them. Anyways, so we got Brad, like I said. What were you going to say, Brad? I noticed you.
I was just going to say those Douglas rods are sweet. I used Brian's when I went over there in August.
In Dale Hollow?
No, I visited Brian in Chicago in August to buy my kayak. And yeah, I saw his Douglas rod. I was like, let me use one of those. He's like, all right, here you go.
I had Bailey Eichbred on my show, and we were talking about rods, and I wasn't trying to promote Douglas rod because at that point I hadn't used them, but, and I even said disclaimer, you know, we're going to talk about rods. Bailey is a Douglas guy, so he'll probably mention Douglas rod, which is fine, but This applies to general, you know, rule of thumb kind of thing when looking for rods. So after we ended the recordings, I started asking him about Douglas rods, and so I was like, okay, I'll check them out. And I did. And they're pretty sweet rods. I like them.
Yeah.
I like them.
I do too.
The quality is there, especially you can see the line guides. I love it, man. Clean look and super. I haven't missed a fish on it. I know that sounds kind of funny. And we're starting off talking about that kind of guy you mentioned. This is, for those out there listening, this is not a promotion for Douglas Rod. We're just having a conversation. We're actually going to talk about whatever today. We're going to wing it. So anyways, I that's one thing that I like to make an episode at some point is on rods, because, man, I was one of, and I've mentioned it before probably a ton, and if you listen to the show, you're probably tired of me saying it, but I was one of those guys where I was like, oh no, you know, the reel with all the components, you know, if I'm going to spend my lion's share of the budget, it's going to go to the reel, and then whatever's left off, I'll buy a $50 rod. And I've learned with using high-end rods that you've got to find a middle ground.
Yeah, I agree.
It's it makes a whole lot of difference.
So
anyways, Brad, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Awesome.
Not that busy. I mean, we've been busy with work. We're booked until next August for work. So
what are you doing? You just recently switched jobs or companies, right?
No, I actually work for a remodeling company right now. It's me, my boss, and another guy that I work with.
Cool. Nice, yeah. Nice. Awesome. How long have you been doing that?
On and off since 2004, something like that. But I've been with my current boss for over 10 years. Yeah, I like it. It's fun.
Cool. I think that's great. It's like just the three of you. You know, you don't have like corporate America kind of thing. Corporate in general. You didn't say corporate. Just corporate in general. It's just I've done that for, 28 years. And it's crushed my soul. But thankfully, I'm out of that for now. So awesome, man. So Brad Hicks is the host of the Final Cast. I always want to say the last cast. Every time I want to reference, I'm like, why do I keep saying the last cast? It's the final cast.
Almost the same thing.
Almost, right? Last cast, final cast. Yeah, it is synonymous. So for those that don't know and haven't listened to your show, when does your show air, Brad? And what is your show about? It's over here on the Paddle and Fin Network, for those who don't know.
Product review. We bring on people from across the industry to talk about their products, big or small. Like we've had Z-Man on, and then I've had
that was a great episode.
Yeah, I've had him on Glenn twice, on a couple times. Yeah. And then we'll talk to local, like custom lure makers. We just had a guy from my hometown here. He custom makes crankbaits, carves them by hand.
Oh, Whitty
completely. Yeah, Whitty Outdoors, completely carved by hand out of a composite material. They're impressive.
Yeah, they're not cheap though, but they're really impressive. Right. Yeah, shout out to that guy because I like the fact that he takes like that approach of an artist, kind of like artist before an angler mentality. I don't know if that makes sense. You know, you want the bait to look good, but at the same time, you want to catch bait. It's not like you're making it work of useless piece of art. I haven't tried them, but they look juicy, man. They look nice.
I'm supposed to be picking up one of his baits. I just haven't gotten over there yet. I want to throw it on the river. It's his, he called it the -1 wake bait.
Yeah.
I want to try it so bad.
And it's not made out of balsa. It was made out of another material, he said, I remember, right?
Yeah, it's some composite. I can't remember exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's a good episode.
That was a fun one, yeah.
Yeah, I like the conversation you guys had. The chemistry in that episode was pretty cool. The Z-Man was pretty good, man. That episode was both of them.
Well, when you have Glenn Young on, you don't talk. You shut up and you let him talk.
I noticed.
And that's what makes it good, man, because he's like so thorough and he knows his stuff, man, and it's interesting.
Yeah,
I soak it in.
That's what I enjoyed about it. The guy's not just like a corporate mentality guy that happens to work for a fishing company. He's like the fisherman first, and then. I'm not gonna say I agree with everything he said. I remember when he was talking about the whole barbed wire thing that he said, like, well, if you lose the fish, it's not because of a bad barbed wire, it's because you don't have a barbed wire on it, it's because bad hook set. I'm like, I don't know, bad, like a barbed wire is am I saying that right? Barbed wire, not barbed wire.
That was on the Ned Rig episode, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He might have been talking about trout down there.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit about that, about keeping the safety for fish. Can't remember what it was, but kind of having that ecological mentality. And I was like, I don't know, man. That little barb, I got what he was saying, but still, like, you kind of want that on your hook. You're talking about fish safety, that some people say, like, no, I don't want that little bar on it, which is fine. I mean,
yeah, I know some states, like when you're fishing for trout, I think my uncle told me in California, you can't have barbs on your hooks.
Yeah.
So it's not like that here. What's that?
In Albuquerque, there's a park, because there's not a lot of lakes, but there's a park. I saw it on one of the, I think it was on John B's, what is it, Never Stop Tour or something like that. They stopped at someplace in Albuquerque, and the same thing, there was like two or three game wardens over there, and they actually had him like either change the hook or we'll snap the barb from it. Like, they would come with pliers and fix your hook, so they'll, like, I don't know, cut or bend the barb. I'm like, that's wow, that's strict, man.
The joys of fishing the river in Ohio, out of the 8 years I've fished, I've only seen a game warden once.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, people are always, you know, they're out there throwing trash, fishing without a license and stuff. I don't do that, but I see other guys doing that. There needs to be guys out there patrolling, but they don't. I don't know why.
I've never encountered a game warden. I have seen, which I'm really glad. I do see a lot of times of biologists, marine biologists checking the health of the lakes. And that's pretty cool. I actually saw him. We were at Wheeler Lake with Dustin. And we were wondering, because we saw a bunch of bubbles, and it was freaking, not freaking Dustin out in the sense that he was scared. He was just like tripping him out. Like, what is that? What is all that? Like, we couldn't figure it out. It's like, what is that? And then there were two marine biologists, or like at 30 feet, just scuba diving, checking for
really?
Yeah, and I was like, that's pretty. I've seen him twice.
You guys should have tried to find them on your sonar.
I did find them on my sonar. Justin was just leaving. That's awesome. I was like, I'll go check it out because I was going to still hang out and fish because I hadn't caught anything. And I was like, damn, man, I got to catch something before I leave. Dustin had a 5-hour drive. It's only an hour drive for me. So I was like, nah, I'll stick around. I didn't get anything. No.
Did the person show up as a big arch?
Yeah, it was like, I guess she was really close to the bottom. It was a lady. There were two of them. And it was just like some big, I had him on the fish finder, not setting, not the structure, the
down imaging.
Down imaging. I didn't have him down. I should have put him down imaging. That was probably cool.
That is cool. Huh.
Yeah. So anyways, nice lake over there, Wheeler Lake. It's a reservoir, small little reservoir, kind of like a huge pond more than anything.
Yeah.
Sherkar Bassin is always fishing that spot, and she catches huge bass, man.
Probably bigger than most of our lakes in Ohio, though.
What do you mean you don't have big lakes in Ohio?
Not really. The most popular lake around here is like 800 acres. It's pretty small. Yeah. We got some big lakes, but I mean, there's maybe two big ones, but for the most
part. What is the most popular fish to fish over there in Ohio? Is it smallmouth?
I'd say so. It's probably smallmouth or largemouth, I'm guessing. Muskie is starting to come make a upcoming here. They're starting to stock lakes in this area with muskie. The only muskie I ever caught was on a lake that I don't ever fish, and that's supposed to be the best muskie lake in the area.
Lake Erie is part of Ohio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's other end of the state from me, so that's like a 4-hour drive.
Should you live closer to Columbus?
I actually live near Cincinnati.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Cincinnati. In between Columbus and Cincinnati.
The only thing I know about Cincinnati is that, God, and I'm saying how old I am, but that old sitcom that they had, WKRP Cincinnati.
Oh.
That show was hilarious.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever seen it.
No, I don't think you're. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking, Brad?
32.
32? God.
Yeah.
I think Paddle and Finn, I think Dustin is the oldest one, and then I'm second oldest one.
Yeah.
I think so.
And then who's the youngest? Probably JP.
JP or Saulo. I think they're around the same age.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so. I can't remember. We were talking about it on that episode. Anyways, but not on that episode, on our chat room.
Yeah.
I think it was JP, Saulo, and I think Susie was the other. Ryan is the youngest one, I think.
Yeah, he's like 30. He's 30.
30? Yeah, I think Ryan was the youngest one. He just looks old. All that vaping. Kidding. Ryan, we love you, man. So, Brad, how long have you been doing the final cast? Again, I was going to say the last cast. I don't know why.
I think it's almost going on a year. I think I switched over last October or November.
Do you like it?
I like it a lot better. I was doing the tournament segment before Dan and Jimmy started doing it. And I'm just not a real big tournament guy.
Yeah, so I know. That's what I was weird.
I couldn't relate to the anglers, so I felt weird asking them questions. But talking to people in the industry about gear and stuff, I like gear. It's a lot easier than doing tournament recap for me. So, yeah, I enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah, and that's what I love of what we have going on in Paddle and Finn. That we have like something for everyone, you know, the gear reviews, the product reviews, the tournament scene. Then you got the OG show with Brian, which is kind of like, not kidding.
Man, I love that's what got me into Paddle and Finn, Brian's show, of course, because that was the only show, but. I think it was every Tuesday he came up with a show. I waited every Tuesday. I got so excited. I was like, man, there's a new episode today. This is going to be cool. And they don't have the original music on their episode anymore. I miss that. Because I think the original music was awesome on his episode. And that was actually written by the Godfather.
Oh, yeah? Copyrights infringement now? That's why we don't have it?
No. No.
What happened to the Godfather? I keep hearing the Godfather. What happened to the Godfather?
I don't know.
Did he disappear?
I still got episodes to catch up on from like 2018. I've listened to like most of the episodes that we've released. But
you're really a big podcast guy, right? Like you love listening to podcasts?
As long as it's about kayak fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Any other podcast, I don't care. Like everybody rants and raves about Joe Rogan. I don't care about him.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I understand it, but I've tried to watch it. I think sometimes, and I say this with total respect to Joe Rogan, because obviously he's great. You know, he's the benchmark for everybody that does the podcast as far as popularity. But yeah. Sometimes I think they're just stoned out of their mind. They don't like this episode.
Well, some of them are like 5 hours long. I am not listening to this.
Yeah, and some of them is just like, and there's some, again, there's some that are great. I think Joe Rogan's personality is what makes it great. Some of them just talk about stuff. They're like, yeah, this is, I don't know, this is BS. Like, I don't, yeah. Making up stuff up. But
most of his guests, too, I've never even heard of. So yeah. I'm just like, it's not interesting.
The conspiracy theory is one of the ones that is like, yeah, I'm the.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are like way out there. But, yeah. I mean. Heck, he's doing something right. I don't know if that says a lot about our society. The fact it's the most popular one. Yeah. But it's entertaining. It is entertaining. My wife loves podcasts. That's the one she got me into podcasts. As far as when I wanted to learn fishing, more kayak fishing and bass fishing, because I don't come from that bass fishing culture. So I was like YouTube. Gene Jensen's my favorite one as far as learning. I watch some of them from just entertainment. I respect John B. For what he's done, not necessarily with the Google Squad, just him by himself. Like he's just the best. And I've said it before on the show, the best editing out there is.
Oh, dude, he's like he could be like a movie pro or something.
Yeah,
I don't even know what to call it, but yeah, he knows how to put together.
Hires. Yeah, might be the guy he hires. Maybe he just pays the guy. I don't know. I'm just saying in general, whoever's responsible for it does a great job of editing. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is, whether it's him or his camera guy or whoever he pays for editing, if there is such a person. But yeah, but then I wanted to like, man, you know, when I can't be on my phone because I'm work or driving, you know, I can't watch a YouTube. Then that's when my wife got me to, you should do podcasts. You should listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, there is such a thing as podcasts. I forgot about that. That's what she listened to all the time.
I was listening to him today, and I finally got caught up. I was like four episodes behind.
With who?
Just a couple Paddling Fins over the weekend, okay. And then I was just listening to the national championship on Dark Waters, and finished all that up. So then I was like, well, I can't listen to any more kayak fishing stuff. So I switch over to Fox Sports Radio, which is my other thing I listen to. I love Fox Sports Radio. Dan Patrick and Colin Cowherd and Doug Gottlieb, Rich Eisen. He's not on there anymore, but dude, I love all of them. They're awesome.
It's crazy the amount of talent that ESPN just lets go. As soon as one of them becomes popular, they just let him go. Like Dan Patrick was awesome, and they just let him go. They didn't pay him. He kind of went out the back door. Colin Hurd, is that his name? I wasn't a big
Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of him, but same
he got
thing.
Kicked Seven. Off. Of ESPN for something he said, and it was funny because I was listening to his segment that day it happened, and then a couple days later he's not on the air. I was like,
what did he say?
It was something about. I don't know. You'll have to Google it. It was something about like
feminist, racial, or something.
It's kind of racial. Like it's something about people in a certain area are smarter than people in another area, and I don't know. It's retarded, but he gets a little political in his sports talk. But
yeah, I wasn't a big fan. I'm not a big fan of his show. So I didn't mind him going. Scott Van Pelt, though. I think I didn't see that one coming. Now that he has his own show, good. Scott Van Pelt is the best they've had.
Yeah.
Scott Van Pelt is by far, since Dan Patrick, he's the best they've had.
He's awesome. I've completely stopped listening to ESPN Radio, though. Like, I haven't listened to it in 4 years. They got rid of every single person I liked.
Yeah, I'm I was big on Mike and Mike ended, I was like, nah. They had this other guy, I forgot his name. And now Stephen A. Smith runs that that time frame. But they had another guy.
Dan Levitard?
No, it wasn't Dan Levitard. I think he
I don't like that guy.
Yeah, no. Was one of the, didn't he play, what is it, the brothers that play quarterback? Was it one of them? I can't remember. But I thought he had a good show, and for whatever reason, it's not there anymore. Huh. Now they have Stephen A. Smith, which, I don't mind the big personality as long as you're saying factual things or you're making sense. But when you're like, and that's what I hated, and I'm glad they got rid of Skip Bayless, because it's like, oh, I'm just saying something so people talk about me. Just like you're an idiot. I have totally no respect for you. Not that he would care about me, what my opinion is, but totally not respect.
Well, he's going to be like, don't listen to Pat on Finn.
Yeah. He could probably give us more views, more listeners.
That's funny.
But yeah, man, that's, I think Scott Van Pelt is the best one they got right now. Cool, man. Cool. So what got you, what decided, you talked to me about this. You used to have another podcast. Was it Yak Tactics, or was that Ryan that had that one? No.
No, Ryan had his own bass fishing for tubes.
You had the Legion, right?
Yeah, I helped my buddy Zach Carell start Yak Legion podcast.
Yak, that's what it was, yeah.
A year and a half ago, I think. Something like that. Man, it's been that long already. Yeah, he's still doing it, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I listen to all his stuff, too. Comes out every Monday, I believe. But
there's, and I guess I was one of them when they came out. When I started listening to Kai, when I got into doing the podcast and thought, man, I want to start doing podcasts, there was pretty much KBN, Paddle and Finn, Josh Smith, like dedicated to kayak fishing. And that's what I started mine was Cold Bass, Kayak and Beers, which is the name of this segment now. And that was pretty much the ones that we had. Now we have a bunch, and I think it's great. I mean, and that's one thing that I appreciate about Brian. He's never like, oh, you know, competitiveness or no, it's in that, you know, that mentality of everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Body gets better, the community and the Eastern industry gets better.
We're not competitive at all. And it's funny when people like they'll post stuff and say stuff like, you guys are not competitive with other people. No. What's the point? None of us are getting paid. It don't matter. We're just doing it because we love it. If I wasn't doing the podcast, you know what I would be doing right now? I'd be sitting on my phone in the living room or playing a video game.
Yeah.
I'd rather be doing this, honestly.
Yeah.
That's just me.
The reason why I got into more podcasts, and I kind of said this, when you look at this guys that are, you know, hammers, quote unquote hammers in the bass industry, it's all from that bass fishing culture, you know, Russ Snyder's, Matthew Conant, Derek Brundle, all these guys that just grew up, even Jackson or in kind of like the new wave of kayak bass fishermen and Cody Milton, they all come from that bass DNA, you know, meaning their generations, third generation of bass fishermen. So it's kind of like you're surrounded, you're in a bubble where all that you're privileged to all this information. For like me, it was like, I didn't pick up bass fishing until like 5 years ago. Kayak fishing, I picked it up three years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and I want to get better at it, not necessarily to compete, but in order to me enjoy it, instead of catching like maybe one fish a month, I want to try, you know, trying to consistently put up five fish every time that I go out.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, well, I'm not privileged to all this information that every all these guys are, because I'm not in that group. So what do I make up? Why don't I make up a podcast, invite those people to come in, because fishermen love to tell fishermen stories. Mm-hmm. Everybody,
Everybody. There hasn't been a single kayak fisherman out there that haven't talked to says, you want to come to the show? And they say, no, I'm not interested. All of them. Well, that's not true. There's been a couple, two or three, but that's more because they're like social media personalities and whatever. But like the tournament anglers that love kayak fishing, they don't do it for the social media aspect of it, the popularity aspect. They just do it because they love it. Mm-hmm. They love to talk about kayak fishing, man. You can't get them to shut up.
Yeah.
And that's, I love it too. Yeah, no, and that's the best thing about it, man. Just kind of like being able to pick brains of some of the best anglers out there has helped my game a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Listening to, like, even Ryan's show today about the crankbaits with Craig Dye, that was a good show.
I have to listen to that one. Someone, I think you commented on the mm-hmm. That it was a good show. I have to check it out.
Yeah, it was a good show. I liked it.
Do you consider yourself coming from that bass fishing culture? Like, do you see your parents, grandparents used to?
My dad. Before my dad, I don't think anybody in my family fished.
But he taught you fishing and all that? That's how you came up to...
Yeah, I believe last time I was on your show, we talked about it. Remember, that was period in time where we went 10 years without fishing, and then I moved out.
Yeah, we had that in common. We were talking about that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's been like nonstop ever since. I moved out, I started fishing, and then for the last 8 years, it's just been like I've been addicted.
It's cool, man, and it's cool to see, like, it rubs in on some of your friends. Like, right now, I have one friend that used to do kayak fishing, and we're actually on a boat today fishing because he got rid of his kayak and bought a 14-foot long boat. But I have no one around me that really loves fishing other than him. Kayak fishing, I'm pretty much the only one. So I was like, man, I'm struggling. But I seen some of my friends that are listening to my podcast. They're like, hey, man, can you take us fishing with you? And now that I have a bunch of them that are just, like, addicted to bass fishing.
You're going to need to get another Hobie.
I know, right? I want to say it's for my wife. I keep saying that. I tell my wife, I'm going to get you another Hobie to spend time together. It's really
You need to get yourself a pro angler and give her the
outfit. I know. That's my plan. I want the pro angler 360, man.
Oh, man. I love that. That'd be... I'm allowed to say this now. I'm a free agent. I'd love a Hobie. Not gonna lie.
But I mean, would it work on you? What type of I know you're a river fisherman.
Right? In some spots it would, but I couldn't do floats. That being said, I would probably use that as a tournament lake boat and then have my river boat still.
I saw Christian Fisher made a video right when the pandemic started. She moved him, I think AJ and somebody, a couple other guys, girls moved up, like, I don't know where, and they made a video of using Hobie, this 360 drive and mm-hmm. the flip
kick up fins.
That's what the word I'm looking for. Thank you. About how good they are on rivers. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that was interesting. I mean, I almost got sold on it. The only thing to me is that the transducer on the bottom. It's like, yeah. I can't.
It has that Guardian plate that lifts up and down, right?
Yeah.
But I thought about the kick-up fins once. What if you're going down the river sideways?
Yeah.
Those kick-up fins don't work then.
Not unless you have the 360, because then you can just turn, you know, and then the fins. All you have the kick-up fins, like, you pretty much have 1 foot forward, 1 foot back, and then the kick up fins kick forward.
Yeah. That's the reason I didn't get an Outback.
Yeah.
I was looking at one, but a lot of people around here, they fish out of an Outback on the river and they say it's a fantastic river boat, but
I don't know. I've never tried it on a river boat, on a river, you know, on a shallow river. Cause mm-hmm. Depending where you go, there's some big wide rivers here. Mm-hmm. I'm not much of a river fisherman, but there are some. That's on my bucket list. Oh, not my bucket list, but that's the plan for this next season. I want to do more river fishing.
I think you'll like it. It's an adventure, man. Not only are you fishing, but you're actually like exploring stuff that you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, man, it's pretty awesome. To me, I've gotten tired of just doing the, not tired, but I'm now at the point where I don't want to do the, but because one thing about Texas is there's only one natural lake, which is actually part Texas and Louisiana, which is Caddo Lake. The rest are just reservoirs, which is great. But there's one, you know, you throw a stone in any direction, you'll hit two or three, you know, bass factories. So, yeah. But a lot of them are just in the Metroplex. So to drive out of the kind of like the outskirts of the city, you have to drive at least an hour. But to me, those are the best spots, man.
Oh, yeah. Best spots. Yeah, like I said, what draws me to the river is like the adventure and trying new stretches. That's one of my favorite things. Yeah. So I've had this goal of floating my whole local river in its entirety. And right now I have over 70 miles floated, and I believe it's 60-something miles, maybe. And I got 70 miles floated. This year alone, I've probably hit 18 miles, which isn't a lot, but, you know. It's over 18, actually. Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but, yeah, over 70 miles of my river completed, and it's awesome. I love doing that. I love hitting the new stretches more than I love hitting the old stretches because I don't know what's coming. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's the thrill.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Just kind of like new ventures and new waters is super exciting. Like to me, I like to like go to a place, kind of feel like I conquered. Like maybe it'll probably take me two or three times before I figure out the bite and say, okay, now feel like I've conquered before I move to another body. But yeah, definitely learning new bodies of water and kind of like seeing, going through the unexpected is, I'd say, half the excitement.
Yeah. And it's funny because not only have I fished my river this year, I've hit the river up where Brian lives. I've hit the White River in Indiana, and I've done well at all of these rivers. And I'm like, man, I look back at it, I'm like, man, that's freaking awesome. I'm getting goosebumps right now because, like, like Brian's river in Chicago was awesome, man. I mean, we nailed, like, a bunch of 17 and 18s that night.
Smallmouth?
Yeah. Damn. It was fun. It was fun.
That was the last time you went out to fish with Brian?
Yeah, back in August.
Cool. That's awesome, man. I got to go. I haven't fished out of Texas pretty much. Let me see. Is that true? Yeah, that's pretty much for bass fishing, though. Mm-hmm. Bass fishing, I haven't fished out of Texas. But then again, you kind of get spoiled here, too, you know, with the size of fish.
You don't need to go anywhere else.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you lived in Ohio, you'd be like, I need to get out of here.
I couldn't make it. You and I couldn't make it to Dale Hollow. Well, you could have made it to Dale Hollow. I'm sure they're kind of upset more at you than I could. I have more of a valid excuse.
If they're upset about that, they need to get over it.
I think they're upset that you didn't go and you were killing it on your local river while everybody was just stunking it up in Del Hollow.
There was a bunch of reasons like I didn't go. I got home and I was just like, you know what? It's not worth it. Just to go one day and then drive back, I was like, it's not worth it. So it's whatever.
You're going to be more driving than you were going to be in the water.
Yeah, pretty much. But I know they're going to be listening to this. So if you guys, you know, you're listening to this, I'm not sorry.
Oh, man. We are so much getting in trouble with this, guys. Sorry. Booty hurt. Hashtag it. Man, I'm sure the guys got fun. I wish I would have been able to go, but I'm sure they have fun even though they didn't catch anything.
I mean, if I could have gotten Thursday, Friday off, man, I would have been down there in a heartbeat. But yeah, I bet it was fun.
Shout out to Dustin. He's the real trooper. He had a 14-hour drive. He literally spent twice as many hours on the car than he did at Dale Hollow, literally. That's 14-hour drive going, 14-hour drive coming to spend a few hours fishing.
Like, yeah, I think he was there a couple days.
Nah, I thought he was leaving on, like, he got there late. No, he got there, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I want to say he got there.
I want to say he got there on Saturday early morning and then left on, yeah, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, shout out to Dustin, man. He's a stupid. He's a team player.
Yeah.
We love you, Dustin. Doo-doo.
Making us. I find myself getting his intro music to his segment stuck in my head.
Oh, yeah.
That's his buddy's band, and I love that song. I'm like, dude, that's a good tune, man.
Dustin is the coolest. Have you met Dustin in person?
No.
Yeah, that's coolest dude. I got a chance to fish with him, finally, meet him in person. The day we did the Paddle and Fin takeover on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You were fishing that day, and you were slaying it that day, too, I think.
I thought you
were fishing that day. Posted some pictures too. Coolest dude you'll ever meet. If anybody gets a chance, really popular here in Texas.
Yeah, that's cool.
Even in the local trails that I fished, which it's not even close to where Dustin is, they know Dustin. They're like, "Yeah, doo-doo, you got doo-doo on your show." I'm like, "Oh, you know,
that's like, awesome."
cool cat here in Texas, man.
Yep,
awesome.
So what's your favorite lure? Let's talk a little bit kayak fishing now.
Oh, favorite lure. Like a, I don't know. Man, I don't know. I throw the TRD a lot.
TRD?
Yeah, I've thrown that a lot over the last year and a half. So.
The net rig, you mean? Like on the net rig?
Yeah.
I saw this video on, I love the net rig. I saw this video on, first one that I saw who made it was Fluke Master, Gene Jensen. Then I saw Wire to Cast, I think is the name of it, Wire to Fish.
Mm-hmm.
They made another one. Gene Jensen called it the Forgotten Red Rig. I think if you look on the Wire to Fish.
I think I saw that.
It's called the, what do they call it? The kids rig. Anyways, it's basically a weedless net rig. And I've stopped using the net rig in favor of that. And it's worked as good or even better than the net rig. And I use it with the TRDs a lot, which is, for those who don't know, go check them out. Go to Gene Jensen and look on Fluke Master and go check out the Forgotten Rig. I think it's the title of the video. And it's just basically you get the TRD and you put like a weight on the bottom, like a Neko rig you would.
Mm-hmm.
And then you rig it up with a Texas rig from on one end and the weight on the other end and just cast it out. So it's going to stand up like a net rig, like a net rig would. But the hook is going to be on the upper side, Texas rig. So it's going to be weedless. And that's the same thing. I would figure you try that on a river, because with the river, how many times do you get snagged when you have a net rig, though?
Not much. I mean, you will, but not as much as you would in a lake where there's a bunch of sticks and stuff, you know? Because in a river, you don't have very many laydowns or sticks or anything, because it all gets washed downstream. If you see, like, bridges, you'll see a bunch of log jams. That's where they usually end up.
Yeah.
But if I'm getting stuck, it's usually in between like two big pieces of concrete, like down in the crack of them or something stupid.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I still use the net rig every once in a while, but whenever I see like structure down there, that's what I've been throwing. It works just as good.
Yeah.
As even better.
Now, I will say, if I'm on a lake and there's grass, I'm throwing a Texas rig worm.
Yeah.
And I'm just jerking it right through those weeds. I love doing that. It's so much fun.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Since you did the Seaman episode twice now, a jackhammer, worth it?
I've actually caught my better fish on a Project Z, but our water in Ohio is dirtier, and that Project Z chatterbait has a bigger profile, so I think that has something to do with it.
That's still Seaman, right?
Yeah.
Project. Oh, yeah. I actually have one of those.
It's the $7.99 version.
Yeah. But, yeah, because that's still the thing. Z-Man has a bunch of chatterbaits. They have the original chatterbait. They have like three or four chatterbaits. I'm like, I didn't even notice.
There's like 12, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I that the one you're talking about is the one that has like a wobble head, right?
No, that's the CFL.
Yeah, that's
the Project Z is it just has different components than the jackhammer and it's bigger profile.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, then I have the CFL. I have the original chatterbait, the CFL, which is kind of like a wobble head, which I haven't really caught many with it. I don't think I've caught any of them with it. And then I have, and then the jackhammer, which, like I like, who was I telling? I think I told Josh that like I'm a. I forgot the. I can't say the word that I said, but anyways, it's one of those things where it's like I don't want to love the jackhammer just because it's so expensive. Like I want to hate the jackhammer. I want something to catch as many fish as I can catch with a jackhammer that's not as expensive as a jackhammer, because to me it's way too expensive for a chatterbait, a glorified chatterbait.
You want to hear something crazy? You think the jackhammer is expensive? I used a bait over the weekend called a Labina Lures Rico, and it's a popper. $25 popper.
$25 popper?
Yes.
What is it made out of? What's so special about it?
I don't know, man.
Let me Google it. What's the name of it?
Labina Lures Rico.
Albino Lures?
Labino.
Labina. Labina. They're Mexican?
I don't know. I guess. Labina Lures? They make a bigger one, they make a smaller one, and then something else, I think. But
the Labino.
I used it for the first time this weekend. I'm like, man, that was sweet. I had to go buy me one because it was my buddy's. He let me borrow it. And he kills, like, nobody's using them around here. So it's like, you're going to get hit. Everybody's using whopper ploppers still.
By the way, I say Mexicans because that's the name. Don't, please. Those that are very sensitive about this, I'm just saying the Mexicans, that's the Mexican word or the Spanish word for bass. So calm down, everybody. Not trying to be, I'm Latino, so I can say it. I don't want anybody to go out there, oh, he's a Mexican. That's the word they use. That's fine. So, Lobina, yeah, I'm looking at it. Why $25 for a popper? That's what I don't get. What is so special about it? The rattling?
I don't know, man.
Does it work better than any other popper?
I don't know. That's the first popper I ever used.
I don't know, man. I don't think I can. Like, there's baits out there that I can see. Okay, because of the dynamics of the bait, like Mega Bass jerk bait to me is. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say it's overly priced, super expensive, but damn it, that's the best jerk. I don't care what anybody says. Mega Bass jerk baits to me are the best jerk baits out there. They are just a fish magnet. They are great. The components are great the way they make them, and I'm not going to go into details because I'm going to look like a fool because I don't know anything about it. But they cast great, cast a lot better than the Rapala, in my opinion. And they stayed suspended. Their hooks are one of those lures that you really don't have to change the hooks on them. Their hooks are amazing. They're kind of bent in. Mega Bass to me, I'm not going to say they're overpriced. I'm just going to say they're worth it because they're $25.99. So it's $26 plus tax. But God, those are great jerk baits. But I mean, a popper is like a popper. It just floats.
There's a guy in my local area. He runs the Tackle Talk podcast.
Yeah.
He had the owner, I think, of Labina Lures on his show. So.
Oh yeah, I heard that one.
Yeah. They might talk about it. But you mentioned jerk baits. I was just looking at some jerk baits today. I didn't know which one I wanted to buy. I was looking at Lucky Craft pointers. Somebody told me to check out Mega Bass, so I'll probably look at those. Somebody said KBD, but I have one of those already.
KBD's good. And Rapala is good too, but dude, Mega Bass, man. I don't know. They have one that's kind of like a shad color, like a little purple line.
Mm-hmm.
Blue, kind of like purple, and then a little ghost on the bottom. Dude, that thing is magnets. I love it. The Rapala was my first one. No, actually, it wasn't. I got my first Jekbird was, I think it was Strike Pro. It was on one of those mystery toggle box, mm-hmm. and that was a fish magnet. That thing was a fish magnet as well. But then I tried the Mega Bass, and I ain't going back. That's the only one. I still have the other ones because I still have them, but I'll throw the Mega Bass before anything else.
Good to know. My buddy said same thing. He said Mega Bass are good, but man, they're expensive.
Yeah, expensive. And I don't. And I like I said, going back to the jackhammer, man, it's just God. It just works, man. My best,
mm-hmm.
my top. Oh, my top two fish have come on a jerkbait. One was on deep ledges. Actually, that was after recording. I think it was after recording the episode with Dan Prairie talking about deep ledges. Mm-hmm. I started using that 1.25 ounce jackhammer.
Mm-hmm.
The black and blue, that heavy one, throw it out, let it sink, and then start rolling it from the bottom. I think it was caught it like at 17 feet.
Dang.
20.25. And then the other one, I caught it like at 12 feet, and that was using the 3/4 ounce, kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like white, dark green and chartreuse. I forgot mm-hmm. the name, but it was jackhammer, and that was 20, almost 22 inches. So, man, they're great. And I've caught a bunch of them. They're just like small, even like sand bass, man. Even on sand bass, I'll catch a lot of sand bass on the really, on the 1/4 ounce.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. Ryan mentioned on his, not this episode, but the last week's episode, that jackhammers don't come in 1/4 ounce. And I think they do.
I don't know. I thought 3/8 was the smallest.
Could be. Maybe it's 3/8. You're right. Could be 3/8.
If they come in 1/4 ounce, I'm getting some because I can't get them the smallmouth to bite on those on the river.
Yeah, maybe he's right. Maybe 3/8. Yeah, I think it's 3/8. He's right. Anyways, cool stuff, man.
Yep.
But you know which one I tried this week, and I actually posted it on my Instagram, shameless blog, bass.kayak.and.beers, if you want to check it out. Mega Bass again, and it's a little bit cheaper than the jackhammer, and mm-hmm. It's I think it's the quality of it is great. It's a little underspin. It's a swim jig underspin. So it mm-hmm. has the it's called the OZ swimmer.
They got some weird names. I can't pronounce them.
Yeah. But I posted it. It is amazing. It has like four keepers for their trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing that I like about it, and I'm going really into detail about this, but the keepers are like facing the opposite way, right? So it holds the trailer, but instead of just having pointy wires, and that's what I love about it, because you can tell they put the craftsmanship on it. They have little ball points on the keepers, so it doesn't tear up your trailer. So mm-hmm. once you got them in, it'll hold them, and since it's a little ball point, it doesn't tear him up, and it holds him really well. Like it's not gonna slip out. It's not gonna slip out. And then they have the blade. It's an underspin. Then they have the guards for the hook, and just the jig head itself. It's carved. That you can see the gill plates. The eyes will stand out. Like you can see, you can tell the craftsmanship that went under those swim jig heads, underspin. That's the best. If anybody's out there listening, I go check them out. Caught an 18-incher on pre-fishing for a tournament, like in my second cast with that one.
Mm.
I wasn't getting anything on the jackhammer, which was like, man, so I was like, you know what, let me try this. I just bought it. I think it's $12.99. So it's not, you know, it's not as expensive as the jackhammer, but it's still a little bit expensive. It's Mega Bass after all. But yeah. Go check them out, man. It is the, again, OZ or OZ swimmer. It's pretty cool. Oh, man, what else? What else we got? I'm doing most of the talking. It's my show. Hey. I'm the host. You're the guest. It's not the other way around, so you have to do more talking.
I don't know, man. You're supposed to be asking the questions.
We're just winging it. So we're doing the pre-recording. We're going to do a little Q&A section. It's kind of fun. You ready for it, man?
Heck yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so let's see. If humans came with a warning label, what would your warning label say?
Oh, jeez. Heck, I don't know. Jerk alert. I don't know.
Get smacked into a jerk face, I'm assuming.
No. Man, that one's tough.
Oh, man. This went downhill quickly.
Yeah, that one's tough. I don't know, man. Warning label. Do people usually have trouble with this one?
Brian did. I don't think he was in the mood that day to do a podcast, but
I listened to that episode actually.
He yeah,
like, oh, man. Well,
I don't know. That was more of a feeling episode. I was like, man, that episode could have been a lot better. But it was still fun.
Warning label will talk your head off about fishing.
Cool. That's a good one. What would you rather have? Long nose hair or long ear hair?
Probably nose hair. You can trim those.
All right. But you can trim ear hair as well. I got both, so I don't get to choose.
That's awesome.
If you could take, I asked this one to Brian too. If you could take a fictional character, any fictional character, you take fishing, who would you take?
Fictional character to take fishing with me?
It could be a cartoon, could be just fictional.
Oh, man.
TV show.
Crap.
Not your voices in your head, though. Something people can relate to. Fictional character.
Trying to think of my favorite show or something like that. I don't even know. That one's tough, man.
No? Oh, man.
You need to give me these questions beforehand.
Well, it wouldn't be so fun.
That's right. That's
this
true.
This is better.
This is the hot seat.
Yeah. Have you ever had anything waxed? If so, what?
No.
All right. Wear a monitor that beeps when you're lying or beeps when you're attracted to someone.
Wear a monitor attracted to someone, probably.
Really? All right.
I don't lie, man.
That's why you should wear the one that says it should be. Okay. Cool. What's been your this can't be happening moment on the water? It's that one day that you're like, this cannot be happening to me. I've had way too many of those, but what's been your that was easy, right?
Man, it seems like every time I'm on the water, I get the stupid wind knots in my braid. And then I'm gonna have to pull out the whole reel, and then I'll gently have to undo these knots all while going down current. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This happens every trip.
That's the worst one.
Oh, dude, I hate it.
All right. It's, yeah. I mean,
you're just wasting time at that point. It takes like 20 minutes.
Really? Know? Well, how bad is that bird's nest that you made? Like, to me, that's the easiest one. Braid.
It's just like a wind knot in spinning gear, if you've ever seen one of those.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. I hate those.
Sometimes I'll have to cut off both ends and just tie it like a leader knot and then just go back at it. Because I'm like, I ain't wasting all this line. I'm cheapskate when it comes to line.
The worst is when you get that, when you hit that on your back and you hit something and you have like floral, mm-hmm. and it just all the line just comes out.
Yeah,
none of it. Like he's like you have to pick out the whole reel.
Yeah,
before you can even start reeling again.
Yeah, and that then, sucks.
That one, and then when you start, because you forget, you're like, okay, let me take the lounge out. And I'm like, God damn, I'm almost going all the way to the spool here. All the way, and then you start really back in, and then you realize your line, you had so much line that it's wrapped around every single little of nook and cranny on your kayak.
Yep. Oh. Been there before plenty of times.
Jeez, that's the worst.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so let's see. Lick every inanimate object you see or be licked by every living thing you see.
Oh, man.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I probably... because either way, you're getting corona these days.
I thought...
probably everything I see, because I don't want people. People stay away from me.
All right. Be able to record your thoughts or your dreams while you sleep.
Probably my dreams, because I never remember them. Wakes up. I had a weird dream. I don't remember the last time I remembered a dream.
All right. A question that every single Brad Hicks and Final Cast fans want to know. Toilet paper. Over or under?
Dude, I saw the meme on Facebook a few weeks ago. And I just sat there and thought about it. I was like, I don't know how I put it on. I never even noticed. And then one day I put it on. I noticed I put it down over. Mm. And then a couple weeks later, I put it on and it was under.
It's got to be over all the time.
I don't care. As long as I'm clean after I take a poop.
Priorities right there. Nickname. What's your nickname that you've been called that you hate?
My wife calls me Dick Hicks.
I'm not
My first name's Richard.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good reason.
She calls me Dick Hicks, and everybody has like caught on with it around here.
Now everybody in Paddle and Finn's gonna call you Dick Hicks.
I'm surprised they haven't, because they know that already.
All right. If you can bring back a famous person from the dead to take fishing with you, who would you take? Somebody that's famous but dead. Not a family member. Famous.
Famous but dead.
Who would take fishing with you?
Oh. Non-family member?
Yeah, famous. Well, unless you have a family member that's famous.
Oh, not that I know of.
Ancestry.com.
Man, that's a tough one. Famous. I don't know.
Oh, man, come on.
Dang.
This is easy. This is easy, but interesting. Eat peanut butter and jelly sandwich or grilled cheese sandwich every day? Which one? I go with PB. You got to go with PB&J, right? That's how your nickname on the... We have to change your nickname of Paddle and Finn host chat if we...
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, I would pick that, but I will say, honorable mention, I had two grilled cheese sandwiches before we started this podcast.
Oh, man. So we might have to cut this short. All right. This is a good one. Spend a year living at a nudist colony or an Amish community?
Ooh. Amish community.
Amish community. All right.
I pretty much already live near one anyway, so that's nothing new.
Okay. Let's see. Grossest thing you ever seen someone do in public?
So back at church camp when I was younger, they had a game.
Oh boy.
At least I didn't start it like one time at band camp or something, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of how that's that vibe though. Go ahead.
Church camp, they had a game where this guy covered himself in peanut butter and had all these teenagers just whoever like licked the guy clean first from his arms and his face, that team won. And I left the gym. I was like, I am not doing that. That is weird. You guys should not be doing this.
That was in a church camp. Yeah. How old were the kids?
Oh, teenagers. The leader of the team was a teenager too.
Yeah.
But it was still weird. I walked out.
The kids were licking the priest clean, that I'm assuming.
Yeah. Weirdest thing I've ever seen, man.
That is
crazy. I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What are the strangest, when you were in high school, what's the strangest, or in school in general, strangest thing you would find in someone's locker?
I don't remember going in anybody's locker.
You haven't lived life then. No, kidding. No, my bad. Strangest thing someone can find in your locker. That was the question. My bad.
In my locker?
Yeah. That should be a good one.
Probably my man thong.
Oh man, yeah, that
would I'm be just good. Joking.
No, I believe you. That one's stupid. Now let's look for another one here. Work with dead people in a. I'm sorry, my English is fairly
mortician.
Mortician, I guess. Sorry.
Or a morgue?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Or work with the busiest ER drama until the world ends. Which one do you want?
Probably a morgue. Because then the people are dead. I won't have to deal with a live person screaming.
That's true. That is very true. Appear a guest on your favorite TV show or have a lifetime backstages to any concert you attend. What would you pick?
Probably backstage.
Right?
Be cool. I'm a metalhead, so it's...
There you go.
I think it'd be cool to hang out with some of these metal guys in metal bands.
What's backstage. Your favorite metal band?
There's a couple of them I like. Periphery is pretty good.
Which one?
Periphery.
Never
they're like they're like a progressive metal.
Kind of like Tool.
Yeah, but they're heavier than Tool.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
That's probably my favorite one right now. Progressive heavy metal Tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Prog metal's like I used to be in nothing but metalcore, but kind of outgrew that phase as I got older, and. Prog metal is more complicated.
Yeah.
It sounds different, so it's...
Yeah, definitely. Like
you, I think it fits my age, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with... Well, actually, I'm a lot older than you, but progressive... To me, I got into progressive metal by listening to Tool.
Mm-hmm.
Their first song, I forgot what it is. One of the creepiest videos I'd see was that little, like... I forgot how you call them when you take a picture... Then move the little whatever it is, and then take another
claymation.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's that first. I think it was one of the first music videos they did. And I was like, "Good Lord, I don't know what this is, but I love it." So,
yeah, I only know one song by them. I think
two.
Yeah.
Oh man, they have a bunch. What's your favorite concert that you've gone to as far as metal goes?
Definitely Warped Tour, man. Warped Tour was a blast.
God, you are really a metalhead.
Dude, the few years I went back in the early 2010s or whatever you want to call them, that was so much fun. Going with my buddies, being in the pit. One of my buddies gets kicked in the face during August Burns Red, ends up going to the hospital because he scratches his cornea in his eye. It was pretty epic.
You're like one heavy metal concert away from being like a neo-Nazi by now.
No, I'm not like that.
That's what I think about all the guys with the big boots and the... Those are the worst mush pits, man. Those are the worst.
I wouldn't get in those very often, but when I was younger, I would do it more frequently. Now I'm just like, I'm the old guy in the back, standing and just enjoying the music.
Yeah, in the back of the day, we used to, back when we were younger, we used to have a love to go into mosh pits. One time we went to a concert, one of my best friends, Javi De Jesus, he was 6'5". He's a huge guy. The guy was like 6'5", 200 and something pounds. And we had the mosh pits, and he just knocking people around. And then the security guy for the concert is like, you have to leave the mosh pit. Because seeing the concert, you cannot be on the mosh pit. Guy was a savage. It was fun, though. Fun times, man.
Heck yeah.
Cool, man. Well, we're kind of wrapping it up. We're almost an hour here, man. Brad, thank you so much for joining the show. I appreciate it. Kind of last minute fill-in episode. It's been a busy week for everybody in Paddle and Fiend, pretty much. So appreciate you taking the time, man. Go check out Brad Hicks on his final cast every Thursday morning, right? No, Friday morning. Right?
No, Thursday.
Thursday morning?
Yeah, because Brian does his show Thursday night.
Thursday nights, and then his shows airs on Friday morning on the podcast. You're right. I got that confused. Brad, before you leave, anybody you want to thank? Or, you know, shout out, shameless plugs, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah. So I'm not with the kayak company anymore, but still affiliated with Loveland Canoe and Kayak here in Ohio. Bending Branches, Wicked Weights. I always forget these. BioNO Power. That's a newer one.
Yep.
They hooked me up with some batteries, and it's been awesome. Using those to power my trolling motor and stuff. And Yak Gadget, that's a newer one this year.
Yeah. So
shout out to them, John Thomas and Jason Ricketts, man.
That was another great episode you did with Yak Gadget. I love the products.
Yeah, I like them too. I just bought the new canoe Quick Track.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a cool product.
It is. I want to get their crate. I still have that milk crate.
Oh,
I don't have a milk crate. I actually have a crate. I'm extending the show more than I need to. But if anybody's looking for a budget, and I know everybody is, I actually got this folding crate that sale at Costco for $6, where you kind of like fold it in and it folds to like an inch. Mm-hmm. And then you can fold it back up. $6. I drilled the rod holders to the side so you can't fold it back down. $6. And it fits like, I don't know, like 10 3600 Plano boxes in it. It's pretty cool. So if anybody's looking for a budget, but I am gonna get more serious about the crate, and their Yak Gadget, that crate they have, it's pretty awesome.
Dude. Great crate, especially if you have like a hurt back or something. You don't have to turn around completely to get in it.
No.
The boxes are angled towards you, so you just reach behind you. It's nice.
Yeah, and the rod holders are kind of like keeps things more clean in the kayak.
Yep.
That comes
with six rod holders, XD crate.
So I'm thinking about that. Well, anyways, Brad, thank you so much. There's a lot of stuff we can talk about kayak fishing, but really appreciate it. I know it's a lot later for you than it is for me. So thank you for taking the time, man. For those out there listening, thank you again for listening to Bass Kayak and Beers Networks. Remember, you can catch us every Wednesday morning. This show will air, and every Wednesday. And tune in on Paddle and Fin. We have a new episode every week for different segments. So thanks again for making it this far, if you did. And if you're on the water, be safe. Take the necessary precautions. Wear your PFDs. And peace. Tight lines, y'all.
See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. TRC Covers, protect your investment. Catch Products, shout out to Catch Products. Go to catchproducts.com and put the Paddle and Fin logo directly on your catch board. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com, use promo code PNF20 and save 20% on all your jig and tackle needs.